Praise God. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. And I'm just going to read one verse in your hearing today. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. And verse number 32. 1 Chronicles 12 and 32. And when you have it, say praise the Lord. You don't have it, say slow down, preacher. All right. 1 Chronicles 12 and 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. Which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. I want to borrow for a subject title this morning those four words and talk to you for a few moments this morning about understanding of the times. Understanding of the times. Amen. You know, the Bible said where there is no vision, the people perish. And that's not a simple verse. There's a lot of different meanings you can take there. Sometimes we can get so blinded by what's right in front of us. We can't see the clear picture. And there's been many times I've asked God, lift me up above the plain, above the trees. I know you're standing, but we pastored a few years in a little old town called Oakdale, Louisiana, that for some reason had an airstrip. And there was a pastor friend of mine that had an airplane. He flew in to see me in his plane and took me on a flight in his plane. And I mean, I'd lived in this city for, I guess it was we'd been there maybe at least a year. But when he took off in that plane, I could see that city from a whole new perspective. I wasn't looking at it from down here where trees and buildings and wooden fences can obstruct my view, but I could see the whole picture. And I've prayed for God do that in my life. And I pray God does that today, that we don't have just a narrow vision here, that all we see is here and right now. Kind of like we talked about last night with Esau. But God, you this thing's bigger than just here and now. It's bigger than just this moment. It's bigger than just this little season I'm in right now. But God, your hand's working way, way, way down the road. And I can't see that right now. But God said to Moses, there's a place by me. Come on up a little bit higher now, and I'll show you things that nobody else can see around you. Oh, hallelujah. I want to talk about that today, understanding of the time. Let's pray one more time that God would speak so clearly. Come on, let the Spirit speak expressly to the church today, God. I need your help. God, I need your help today. Oh, give us spiritual direction, God. Talk to us today in the name of the living God, in Jesus' name. God, we give you praise and glory and all the honor. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on. Let's give God a standing ovation today. What do you say? Come on. Let's lift our voices and shout unto God. Even on a cold Sunday morning with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated today. I have preached many times about these men of Issachar and men that, as we've already read, the Bible said had understanding of the times, and they knew what Israel were to do. Now, you have to understand that what really makes these men special is that in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. You have to understand where David was at. Understand what David was going through. How David was on the run. And David was in hiding. And how there were a group of men that pledged their allegiance to not just a man, but they recognized the anointing on the man. And that this man was involved in the divine plan of God. And so the Bible talks about these men that had joined themselves with David while he was at a place called Ziklag. The Bible said, while he yet kept himself close because of Saul, the son of Kish, that they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. And the Bible said these men were armed with bows, and they could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow. These were mighty men of valor that pledged their allegiance to David, willing to fight unto the death. These were men that David leaned on very, very heavily. They were armed with spears. They were armed with shields. And they were armed with swords and bows and arrows and rocks. They were dedicated men. Men that David could go to sleep at night and trust them with his life. These were men that David leaned on. Mighty men of valor. Amen. But I think it's very noteworthy today to understand that these men had another group of men listed among them. That while the writer is writing about these mighty men of valor, he wants to be sure and name another group of men. The men of Issachar. They were mighty men of valor as well. But not important because they could use a spear or swing a sword or could throw rocks with both hands. But these were men that David leaned on just as valuable because they had understanding of the times and had great wisdom from God for the hour that they lived in. And the Bible lets us to know they were just as mighty and just as valuable as all these other men, because every army needs men with tremendous wisdom. Every army needs men that have understanding of the times, whose vision goes beyond the here and the now. But they understand the battle plan for tomorrow and the battle plan for the future. Thank God for good men and good women. They have understanding of the times that they live in. I am preaching you this today because I believe this is never more relevant than it is here today. I feel such a burden on my spirit today from the Holy Ghost that God needs saints in tune with Him today. That's the problem with our society. We spend so much time on technology. We spend so much time being busy with life. And God's saying, where's the man whose ear is in tune with my voice? You got to catch what I say today. I don't care. This ain't nobody gonna buy this CD today. But I'm gonna slow down because you've got to get the burden of the Holy Ghost today. God is saying, and I know I've preached about running and shouting and dancing, and I think you know I love all of that, and I appreciate this church, amen, and the spontaneity of this church. But there's another side of this equation today, that there is a group of people that walk with God. There's a group of people who spend time in prayer. And they understand that we are in a great spiritual warfare. And they're not so bogged down with the cares of life. But their ear is in tune with the voice of God. And they realize there's something more going on than just me and my world and my wants and my needs. But God has a bigger plan. That there's more going on than just me and my world. But there's a church fighting for a move of God and fighting for revival. And I may not get blessed, but my church has got to be blessed. I may not find God, but my church has got to find God. God needs men in tune with His voice. God needs somebody that can wake up in the middle of the night and feel the nudge of the Holy Ghost and pray a prayer of intercessory prayer. Amen. This is where our world is at today. And this is the role of the church today. This is what God wants to do today. Understand the urgency of the hour that we live in. I thought about, amen, today's major news headlines. Thought about this new administration and the light that's been shined upon our government and the world that we live in. I thought about, amen, some of the stuff going on before even the election, and just how that people are under tremendous scrutiny. Amen. And there's such a great divide in our country today, and wrongs being called right and rights being called wrong. And I thought about the racial tensions, and you believe what you want to in that, but a lot of that's just hype and being man created to, for political gain. And I thought about people's lack of confidence in the government today, and the evil effects of a biased media. And I thought about the agenda of homosexuality and about the laws they're trying to change in our bathrooms. Somebody sent me a picture last night. It was actually a vacuum cleaner, and it had a man vacuuming the floors in the living room. I don't know if that's the same company, but I've been hearing the ads on the radio of a man, and they're saying he doesn't have time to take care of the baby and clean the house at the same time. And so they're saying this little Swift picker-upper thing is quiet and easy, and you think it's nothing really major, but it's the onslaught of the world we live in. It's trying to change the identity and the role in the house. The woman works the job, and the man stays home and cleans the house. That's the world we live in today. The church of God is under tremendous pressure, under attack. All that goes on out there is trying to tear down the walls the church has built. There was talk of our tax dollars going to pay for a woman's abortion. We live in a society, and I'm going somewhere, where flags are desecrated and the national anthem is mocked. We're a generation that wants to ignore the price paid for our freedom today. Amen. We're living in a day when refusing to bake a cake for your religious beliefs is offensive. But yet those same offended people can issue death threats and bully the baker's children, and yet that's okay. We see an hour where mass murder is all too familiar, and these truly can become depressing times of tremendous chaos and times of tremendous despair. And every news headline, every radio broadcast is filled with information that does little to encourage us or to uplift us. It's easy to get bogged down in the problems of America and feel overcome by a dark, weighty, depressing cloud of despair and confusion and chaos. But I remind us today that our God is not unfamiliar with times of chaos. In fact, God doesn't get nervous in times of despair or chaos. In fact, God thrives in times of chaos. In fact, some of God's finest moments took place in an hour of tremendous chaos. So he proved in the very beginning, the Bible said God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The word form there means to lie in waste, a place of desolation. And the earth was a place of desolation and void, empty, an undistinguishable ruin. The earth was a place of desolation, a place of waste, an empty land of ruin. But the Bible said, in that state, the Spirit of God moved, or it began to hover, or began to brood upon the face of the waters. And God said, God's a master of going to an hour of chaos and just speaking a word. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. In an hour of desolation, in an hour of chaos, God stepped in and God sent the word, and God changed it all with one word: let there be light. And so God proved in the very beginning, I can speak, amen, into the chaos and turn it all around. Mark chapter 4, the Bible tells us, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? Now stop right there. Why did they wait till the boat was full of water before they got Jesus involved? Something about man that says, I can handle it on my own. No, you can't. I'm telling you what, I've got to a place in my life at the very first sign of rain. I'm saying, come on, Lord, down. When the wind picks up, I'm not waiting till the time of chaos. I'm saying, God, get involved right now. I need you right now. I'm not big enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not wise enough. I need your help right now. Well, I lost some of you right there. So they said, Master, carest not that we perish. He arose. He rebuked the wind. I didn't know you was going to sing that song or talk about that song this morning. He arose. He rebuked the wind. You know what we call the Lord today? He's the storm calmer. Why do we call him that? Because he calmed the storm. Why did he calm the storm? Because there was a storm. If it wasn't for that storm, I'd never know he was a storm calmer. I'm telling the kind of God that I serve, he thrives in chaos. Do you understand that this Bible's full of chaos? But it was that chaos that showed us the God that we serve. Had it not been for a lame man, had it not been for a dead man, had it not been for a sick man, had it not been for a legion, had it not been for a storm, we would not know that our God was bigger than man's problems. I'm telling somebody that God does not get nervous in times of chaos. In fact, he uses the hour of chaos to show us his glory and his greatness. Somebody praise the Lord together with me right now. I've come to preach to this church today that 2018 is no different. God can and God will move in these perilous times. He's the God of every problem. He's the God of every storm. He's the God of all chaos. And God's not nervous. He's not upset. In fact, he's ready to shine in an hour of tremendous darkness. And we can choose to hang our harps on the willows
and feel sorry for ourselves and sing our sad songs and let the naysayers warp our minds or say, if God be for us, who can be against us? It may be raining, but my God, He made the rain. The wind may be blowing, but my God, He made the wind. Hey, I've got confidence in the God of chaos. Oh, let's love the Lord. Let's love the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, let's lift our faith together. Come on. Help us, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Somebody believe with me right now. He's God of all. He's God of all. He's God of all. I feel a pushback in the spirit today, but we're going to push beyond this old veil today. Devil, you're a liar. This is God's church. This is God's anointing. God's called bride. Come on. We're waging war on the adversary today. We're not going down with the boat. We've got Jesus on the boat. It's going to be all right. He's going to rebuke the wind and the rain. It's going to be all right. But here's what we've got to understand. And I'm going to tell you what. The battleground is up here. What happens? It's up here. The battleground's up here. We can look at the world. We can look at events. It's easy to hear the devil say, bad, 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 it's bad, it's bad, it's dark, it's depressing, this not right, that's not right, this season. And we can get so bogged down. There's a time where I just quit listening to the news. I think I'm about there again, amen. But this is history in the making. But I don't want to get so bogged down with that. And so, but we've got to understand that really, honestly, the stage is truly being set for a mighty revival. Now, I know you get labeled as being charismatic that way, but I'm not done preaching yet. But I believe in times of chaos, God shows His might. And when hell's attacking, the church goes to praying, that's when God rebukes the darkness. And God says, let me show you what I want to do. But we must maintain our faith and not get distracted and possess an understanding of the times. That it's not a time of defeat. It's a time of victory. It's not time to be depressed and full of fear and doubt. It's time to keep on digging and keep on pressing and keep on fighting and keep on praying. Understand that when God shows up, devil, you better get out of the way. We've got to let God know whatever you're doing, I won't be in the middle of the move of God. If you're saving God, I want to be around it. If you're healing, I want to be there. If you're moving, I want to be there. If you're delivering, I want to be there. I want to be in the middle of revival, in the middle of a harvest, in the middle of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And we must maintain our passion. Be seated, please. I've already gave you the answer, so this shouldn't be too hard. There's one thing in Pentecost we're losing. What do you think it is? There's one thing that we need to get another grip of. What do you think it is? And you could list a lot of things, and you'd be probably right. Really, at the core of a lot of that, as we're losing our passion for the things of God. What makes you push the plate back when you're so hungry, but you say, no, I'm not going to eat? It's called passion. What are you passionate about? There's people passionate about old cars. They love to restore their car. I go to their garages. They say, hey, Brother Green, look at my car. And they will tell you all about their car. And they talk about cars. They talk about this. Some talk about hunting and fishing. And you spend time around a man, you know what his passions are. Now, that don't mean we don't have other interests and things. And that's all good and fine. But what drives you? What made you come to church today? Was it waking up like you do on a Monday morning and getting dressed on a Monday morning and showing up like you do on a Monday morning to your job? Or was there something down inside of me saying, I was glad when they sent it to me. Let us go to the house of the Lord. This is Sunday. It's the Lord's day. We're in revival. I don't know what God's going to do. When you get down and pray, what pushes your prayer? Is it passion for God? I'm hungry, God. I want a move of the Holy Ghost today, God. Anoint that man of God. Anoint my ears to hear, God. Anoint the singers. Anoint the musicians, God. Anoint this church, God. Give us victory today. Hey, I'm passionately praying. It drives me. A passion for God. A zeal for God. I'm thriving. I'm not maintaining. I'm pressing. I've got passionate for what I love. Problem is, we're living in an hour of great distraction. Instead of waking up and getting your wits about you and reading your Bible and praying, we get up and get on that cell phone and check emails and social media and whatever it is we do, check the news. Before you know it, we've spent so much time serving mammon. Oh God, look, it's already time to get ready for work. I'm late for work. God, sorry, God. I'll try to talk to you tonight. We try to squeeze God in our little program, and then when we do come to pray, we're so tired and we're so, Lord, I love you, Jesus. You know what, God? I'm sorry. I'll pray better tomorrow. And it's just a circle we don't get out of. Because we get so distracted. We've got jobs. We've got kids. We've got things going on. We've got all these time-saving gadgets that really all it's done is filled our lives. And with man, every little free moment we have, we got 5 minutes here. I can feel a little space here with 5 minutes. And we're so wiped out. Oh, we're so busy. How you doing? Oh, I'll tell you what. When I catch up with myself, I'll find out. I'm just so busy. I'm busy, 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 busy. Busy doing what? Busy doing what? Busy being distracted most of the time. And God says, anybody that feels the lateness of the hour, does anybody feel that you're at a crossroads? And this could be destiny taking place here today. Does anybody understand this is not business as usual? Does anybody understand that you're just right there at the precipice of a breakthrough? That there's hungry souls waiting to come in? Does anybody understand it's time to not be distracted and put aside the weights and put aside the sins and put aside the weights and say, I feel something calling me to step up and step out and do work for God. I feel the lateness of the hour. My vision's beyond. Right now, I see the master plan. And I hope there's none here like this today, but I feel there's too many still struggling, trying to make up their mind whether they want to live for God or not. Honey, we should be way past that. That was said a long time ago. There ain't no going back. There's no quitting the church. I know too much to go to hell. I've made up my mind. That's settled a long time ago. That's yesterday's battle. That should be yesterday's battle. That's not what the battle is today. The battle is, I want to go further in God. I want to do more for God. I want to pray more. I want to worship more. I want to have better church. I want to be a better saint. I want to do more for God. That's my battle. Oh, somebody give God praise. I'm looking for revival, not an escape route. And if my eye is on the back door, it's not for me to go out. I'm looking for somebody to come in.
And so here's my simple point today. It's time to get into position to facilitate and receive the revival God is sending. You know, I was gonna do something here today. I don't have my wallet with me today, but I want to do a little example here. I understand y'all's virtual handshakes, but if you're giving a virtual offering, that doesn't count, okay? But pretend this is my wallet. My wallet's coming apart. All right. Hope this is okay. This wasn't in my notes, but which one of you boys has got a wallet on you? You have one? You have to pull it out. You got one? All right. This is my wallet. Oh, I dropped my wallet. Do you mind getting that for me and giving it to me? Thank you. You gave me my wallet, right? Thank you. Was that a big sacrifice? You know why? It was mine. You gave it to me. Could I have your wallet? You don't have to really give it to me. But that's a sacrifice, isn't it? That's a sacrifice. He gave me my wallet. That wasn't a sacrifice. When you pay your tithes, that's not a sacrifice. That's God's. I'm going to be blessed. I gave my tithe. No, you gave God what already belonged to him. That's not the blessing. The blessing is when you give of your abundance. It's in your offering. And you want a $1 bill blessing? Just keep giving that $1 bill. Ha! Y'all can be seated. Been a while since I said that, hasn't it? Amen. But I come back. I got y'all now. I want y'all quit talking in tongues and get. I want y'all come back down to reality. You want the blessings of God? It's not in paying your tithes. That's your reasonable service. That's you don't do that, you'll be cursed of God. You want God's blessings on you? Learn to give abundantly. That's where God said, and then I'll send my blessings, pressed down, shaken together, and good measure running over. Oh, no, I'm having fun right now. Well, I'm just going to give $5 because I'm giving my tithe. And they can pay the light bill with my tithe. Is that what the tithe is for, is to pay the light bill? I tell you what your boss to do. Your boss is not going to pay you. He's going to say, I'm going to pay your car note this month. There you go. Thanks for working all month. No. You give me my check and I'll do what I want to with it. Well, let the church run off my tithe. God never intended the church to run off the tithing. That's for the man of God. What he does with it, amen, between him and God. But you ought to pay your offerings and say, God, I want my church blessed of God. You say, well, I'm giving to God. No, not your tithe. You're paying your tithe. What are you giving to God? Just a $1 bill every once in a while, a little $5 here. Everyone, no. That's not the blessings of God. That's why he said that widow woman that gave two mites, she gave of her substance. And when she got... Hear me, hold on. You want to measure your offering? Don't measure about what you give. Measure about what you have left. Bill Gates can walk in here and give $1 million. We can say, oh my Lord, he gave $1 million. Well, you know what? He could lose that. He could lose that at a restaurant and not even know it. But now, me, if I gave $20, I'm going to know it. Come on, hypocrite. You might as well shake your head too. Yeah. And so who gave more? Bill Gates giving $1 million or me giving $20? In our minds, it was Bill Gates. But in God's mind, it was me and that $20. You say, why are you saying that? I'm going to tell you what. Because it costs to save the world. Revival cost. Outreach cost. I'd love to see this church get a big old LCD screen out there to light this neighborhood up, whatever city code that you have. Amen. That cost. You say, well, I pay my tithes. Let that know. Why don't you pay, amen, for that sign? Woo! Hey, why don't you pay for it? All right. I quenched it. Revival closed right there. Amen. They're ready for you. Amen. Ready to throw tomatoes at me. Hey, we'll take tomatoes. Amen. We'll sell tomatoes. And what have we got to do? But what I'm preaching about and why I got off on the sidetrack today is God saying, where is somebody that gets into position and says, I understand the times. Maybe right now, I don't need a brand new truck. Maybe I need to give an offering to God. Maybe right now, I don't need a brand new house or a brand new passport. Maybe right now, I need to give to God and let God do a work. Say, hey, man, I want to give God praise. I got a pay raise, man. Now I can buy a brand new truck. Thank God for giving me a pay raise. Maybe God give you a pay raise to increase your offerings. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. God, use me. God, use me. Here's a financial blessing. I'm going to buy a brand new bass boat now. What about you saying, God, use me? God don't usually bring some sinner out there and write a check for $1 million and say, there you go. God loves to let the blessings come through the church. I know we're praying, oh God, if you'll just send us this big check. And I'm not talking about them, but people say, God, if you'll send us this big offering, God, man, let somebody just show up and say, here's $1 million. And guess what? That sinner says, I built that church. I did that. No. That's not God's plan. God would rather say, hey, you've been faithful in a few things. Hey, here's a blessing. Now you just give that, and I'll bless you again. And God can use the saints of God to find the revival that God would love to give. But God can't bless a stingy man.
Well, amen. See how we live in. You say, Pastor Worth, it's so tight. It's financially tight. It's so tight. It's so tight. Well, that's because you got that George Washington blessing coming on your household. Because that's all you're giving God. A little dollar here, 30 cents here. There, God. And God says, okay, I appreciate that. A $1 offering. And if you're here, I don't know who's doing that, who's not. I don't even care. But I'm just preaching today. And God says, okay, you gave a dollar. Here's $2. There. Go fix your car now. But when you pay your bills and you paid your tithe and you've got $10 left and you say, God, here's $5 of it. And I got $5 to get home on tonight. Amen. And God says, that boy gave down his last $5. Hey, angels, I can't let that boy out give me. You get down there and you bless that man. That's the kind of God I serve. You want revival? Hey, get that self-esteem spirit off your back and say, I'm going to be a giver in my efforts, a giver in my prayer, and a giver of my finances, and let God use me.
I thought about that book. Many of you maybe read the book, heard the story about that one shot, one kill. Carlos Hathcock, what was his name? Hathcock, the great American sniper. I thought about that story where he crawls on his belly for like 3 days and he comes face to face with that deadly snake. And if you're a guy, it's a wonderful story. If it's a girl, I don't know if you'd like it too much. But anyway, he got into position. When that man walked out, he had the crosshairs on him. I thought, what a victory, because a man was able to sneak into position. But they didn't just pick up some little guy off the streets. Hey, you want a high-ranking, top classified job? Come on, quit driving that school bus. Put this uniform on. Now get out there and assassinate that guy. No. He spent years in training, and he was ready and waiting. And when Uncle Sam said, here's the situation, here's the time, he was ready and waiting. Boom. God is saying, if I could just get some people in this ready and waiting category, I would gladly take you over here and say, this is what I want to do. But God is saying, does anybody have an understanding of what's going on? Can anybody get out of their little world and realize there's a people I want to use? There, oh God,
There are people in this city right now that need somebody to witness to them. But they don't know enough Bible scripture to tell them of why they're right and why, man, God can help them. Is there a man somewhere that says, God, I want to be that man and get in position and realize you need a vessel, God, you can use? Well, let's lift our hands and talk to the Lord. Come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm preaching today, understanding of the times. I'm going to flood the earth. Noah, get ready. I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham, get ready. Hey, I'm trying to bring Israel out of Egypt. Moses, get ready. I'm going to bring down Goliath. David, get ready. These were men that were ready when God was ready. Problem is, when God gets ready in this generation, God spends so much time trying to pray the church through that maybe that season's passed. But I'm preaching today about a church that I believe the last few weeks has been getting ready. Man, we've getting rid of some old grave clothes. Man, there's a brand new feel here. There's a brand new passion here. A brand new excitement here. And I refuse to let that thing die today. I refuse to let hell have victory this weekend. We fought too long. We're coming back saying, God, 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 use us. Use us in times of chaos. Use us in times of great distraction. I'm ready. I'm not getting bogged down. I'm not getting caught up in the rat race called life. I'm ready, God. God, use me. Let's praise him. Come on, Sister Green. Oh, let's praise the Lord. Be seated for just another moment. I'm closing. Esther, will you be used by God? Well, I don't know. I've got this excuse, that excuse. Esther, if you don't step into position, you may perish with everyone else. But God will bring victory somewhere. And she woke up and she saw the master plan. Of course I'll step in that place. If I perish, I perish. God's looking for a people that will say it ain't about me. There's a bigger picture involved. I get feeling so guilty sometimes. I get down and I'm praying. It's God, I need this, and God, do this, and God, I need it. It's like God's my little genie in the bottle, and I'm rubbing that bottle. God, I need 3 wishes today, and I feel so bad. I start thinking about lost humanity. I start thinking about home missionaries. I start thinking about foreign missionaries, and I start saying, God, that's even this past week, I had some serious needs, and I said, God, there it is. It's on the table. You know about it. Now, God, that's it. I started praying about the work of God and the things of God. Hey, the Father knows you have need of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. I'm not praying about my finances or my backache or my headache. I'm praying, God, speak a word in the darkness of my city and bring revival, God. I'm praying about your will and your work. Seated, we read beautiful pages in this New Testament because God had a man named Paul in tune that would write such beautiful letters. But aren't you glad God could find a man by the name of Ananias and say, there's a man named Saul. I want you, your life, and his to intersect. I'm going to use this man to turn this world upside down. Go to Straight Street. Get into position. Well, God, I don't have time. I mean, I've got all these things going on. I just don't have time Really? Do you realize what I'm calling you for? And the Apostle Paul gets all this attention. But if it hadn't been for another man who just a little snippet is written about this man. Who knows? God may be looking at you today. Yeah, little insignificant me and you. And it could be you on a normal day walking into a grocery store. And your path intersects with somebody. And you have no idea that that person's the key to a 50-soul harvest. Who knows? Who knows what God would do with, yeah, little old you. And God might be trying to knock on the door of a heart. But if that heart is so bogged down in their life, and they're not praying daily, God, you've got a master plan. And somewhere in this master plan, I've got a role to fill, a position to be in. I'm trying. Every word that's preached, God, my ears are in tune. Every altar call that's given, I'm trying to find my way. There's somewhere, there's a place called Straight Street. And somewhere there's a Saul of Tarsus that you're going to use me to talk to. And that's the man that's going to do a great work for you, God. Somewhere, God, I've got to get in position. Somewhere, God, my eyes have to get off of me and my little old world. And have an understanding of the times. And look around at a good man of God that's given more than 2 decades of his life to build this work here. Amen. A man who probably has a few more days behind him than he's got ahead of him. He can't carry it by himself. He can't teach all the Bible studies. He can't do all the worship and all the praying and all the fasting. That sweet wife of his, she can't do it all, ladies. But it's when the church says, hey, this is our church. This is not Pastor Worst Church. This is God's church. And we are God's people. And we're going to catch the vision of the man of God. And we're going to get together, understand the lateness of the hour. Understand what God's trying to do. Understand what God's trying to give us. It ain't time to put her in neutral and let her just coast downhill. It's time to shift her down a gear. And say, come on, God, let's let this thing take off. It hasn't gotten as good as it can get. We have not reached the height of this thing yet. We haven't had our best services yet. We haven't had the breakthrough we need yet. We haven't seen the harvest of souls come in yet. We ain't seen the drug addict come in yet. The harlot come in yet. The family come in yet. It gets a whole lot better. Now, let me say this, because I really need to say this. Every church has a decision to make. You get tired of waiting on an Isaac, and you produce an Ishmael. And that's not the plan of God. Well, Pastor Worth, don't you understand that if we would incorporate this and we would do this, and maybe if we brought some lights in and turned the lights down up there, and maybe if we had this program, and maybe we just this pulpit. So I heard somebody say, honest to God, this last week, I'm embarrassed to even who it was, that they heard about a preacher that on Wednesday nights is taking his tie off, and I said, you watch, won't be long, the pulpit be gone too. And they're talking about just trying to, you know, casual it down on Wednesday nights, and this other preacher said, well, really, you know, you're as long as society says it's okay, you really want to go down that road? Why are we trying to dumb this thing down to reach society? I said, why are we trying to have these programs to help God? Can't tell you what God's idea of programs are. Israel comes up to the Red Sea. God, I need to get across this Red Sea. What's your program? God said, here's my program. Take an old stick and slap the water. That's my idea of a program. God don't need our programs. God don't need our lights and our smoke machines and our ideologies. Hey, he's already told us some things come but by prayer and fasting. Preach the word. Preach the word and have faith and push for a move of God. That's God's program.
Where's the Apostolic Church of 2018? Too many are losing their focus. Amen. We've refused to bow at the altar of compromise. But God, we won't do this the right way, God. And we've come today, Lord. We've come today to tell you, God, your word said, and I will work. Who shall let it? Who's going to hinder me? God, it won't be me. I believe there's some good men here today that are saying, God, use us. There's some good ladies here today, some good young folks today that says, God, I've got my mind on heavenly things today, God. I've got an understanding of the times, God. Understand, Lord, the hour we're living in, God. We're too close to the end to just coast along now. And I close with this today. In the beginning, God looked at chaos and God spoke the word. Listen to me. Let there be light. Here we are thousands of years later and the world is in chaos again. But Jesus said, this time, oh, this is powerful. This time, ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And this is his commandment, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Hey, the world's back in chaos, but one more time God spoke a word, but this time he said, you are the church and you are the light, so shine. Shine in darkness. How do you shine? I'll tell you how you shine. You intercede in prayer. Everywhere you go, smile. The Holy Ghost glows on your face. Man, I've seen your pastor do it over and over again while I've been here. Everybody's a potential soul. It's an invitation around every corner. Amen. Come to church. God's good. We're in revival. Come on, come on, come on, come on. When I come to church, I don't come in that back door beat down, depressed, beat up, and my head hanging down, and well, I just don't know. But I'm telling you, there's some men got a hold of it around this church. I hear it when you're praying. There's a faith in your prayer. There's a passion behind your words. There's an anointing on you men when you're praying. I say, God, do it again tonight. When you walk in that back door, understand, there's an anointing available that while you pray, hell can be shaken. While you sing, hell can be rebuked and got to leave. Have faith in what you're doing. Let's lift our hands and love the Lord. Come on, I've preached my heart to you tonight, today. Come on. Oh God. Oh, Adabokotomo Sata Yada Lama Kataramaha. Yendoromo Kondorama Rama Manda Yotoremo Sataramaha. Yikatatoramo Rama Shata Yadamaha. Here's what we're going to do today. Here's what we're going to do today. They're about to sing. I feel the Holy Ghost here. Now, this is not for everybody. Please, this is not for everybody. But this is what we're going to do. If you want to step out today, this is what you're saying. God, I understand. I got a little bit of an understanding, God, of where we're at right now.
where this church is at, and that it ain't time to back off and say, well, it's been a good couple weeks, but no. We got to get there, God. There's families, there's people out there, and I'm willing, God, I'm willing to come and pray. I'm willing to fast. I want to break my wallet open a little bit more. I'm just, God, wherever you can plug me in, God, wherever I can go be used, God, just use me there. I don't need the spotlight. I don't need a pat on the back. I don't need recognition. Just plug me in there, God. To just use me. I want a revival. I want a breakthrough, a harvest of souls. I want to be involved. I want to be used, God. I understand the hour's late. Where is that man today? That's it. Sing it, babies. Oh, make that commitment, church. Sing it. Hallelujah. Come on, that's it. That's it. Come on, lift your voices, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. That's it, ladies. God wants a lady in position. That's it. Come on. Come on, dig in and pray. Use me. Use me. Use me in this late hour. Take me, Jesus. God can use little old you. Come on. Oh, let that be your prayer today. Oh, Jesus, use me. Come on, that's it. Let's really lift our voices today, church. Come on, I know it's Sunday morning. Let's really lift our hearts today. That's it. Come on, men, lift your voice. Let that be your prayer today.